Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
For our Bible study today, take your Bibles and open them to the book of Genesis, the 27th chapter. And I also want you to mark in your Bible, Psalm 127. Well, I tell you what, that awesome God brought back memories. Woo! I think they sang that the day Kelly and I got engaged in the church that day. I mean, that was... But I love that song. I have so many memories. We have all kinds of people here at North Central Baptist Church, and all people are welcome here. Every ethnicity, every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds, we live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married, some have been married a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, church, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Steve Farrar wrote a book called Point Man, where he described a point man in the Vietnam War that went ahead of a platoon. And in that, he described how that the point man really made the difference and was out there in front in protection and in pioneering the advance of the group of people that he led. Steve Farrar talked about the father in a family doing that, that the father of every family is a point man. He's the one who does that. He is a great book. As a matter of fact, Robert, you remember a bunch of us men, we went through that book when I first came here, and it's a real challenge for men to be the point man. Well, Steve wrote another book called Finishing Well, where he talked about how that the battle is not just how you blow out of the blocks. You know, if you're a runner, you blow out of the blocks, and man, they might say when you first blow out of the blocks, man, that guy's going to win. Well, you may not win if you don't finish well, if you don't stay the course. And so as you think about your home and you think about what we're learning from these studies in Genesis, it's just been amazing. I was thinking about several messages ago, Abraham offering Isaac on the altar in Genesis 22. And then you remember we learned a lot about death when Sarah died in Genesis 23. And then when God brought Isaac and Rebekah together, it's a great passage there in Genesis 24, and we titled that, And He Loved Her. And then in Genesis 25, Family Lessons from Abraham. Remember, Abraham was, it says he was full of years. Man, that was a message that meant a phrase that meant he was satisfied with life. You know, he came to the end of his life, and he was satisfied with life. He was full of years. And then last week in Genesis 26 was like father, like son, talking about Abraham and Isaac. Abraham ran from difficulty when there was a famine, and Isaac did the same thing, and we see that. One thing that's been a discovery of mine in studying the book of Genesis is how much about the family is really taught here. And today is no different. The title of today's message is A Family in Turmoil. Now, here's the thing. In Psalm 127, if you've got that in your Bible, I'm just going to read that. Psalm 127 says this, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. so are the children of one's youth. Happy is a man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Well, we're about to read a passage of Scripture about a family in turmoil because everyone was going their own way. Everyone was doing it their own way. We want to build our house, our home, our own way. And when we do that, church family, everyone loses in the family when we do it our way. We see in this passage, we see jealousy, we see ambition, we see hate, we see bitterness, we see envy, lying, deceit, malice, manipulation. Everyone loses. Now, don't be discouraged because there's a silver lining at the end that God, I think it will encourage you, because if there's anything we've all noticed studying the book of Genesis, and just nod your head if you get this with me, is that all the characters in the Bible are real people. They make a lot of mistakes, and yet God uses them. So you say, well, hey, I've made a lot of mistakes. Well, guess what? You're a prime candidate for Jesus Christ to embolden you to be used in your family and in your world for Him. So get ready and buckle up, because that's the message that God gives us through all of this. Most of the people in the Bible were so flawed, and yet God, in his ability to save and to transform lives, He uses them in a powerful way. Well, but here's what happens often. We know what God's Word says, and yet we think God may need our help. We're going to do it our way. And that's exactly what happened in this passage. His Word is not enough. His promises are not enough. We're going to live by God's Word, or we have the choice, we're going to take things into our own hands and do it our own way. Well, that's what happens in Genesis chapter 27. I want us to study this familiar story and learn from each person in the story. Now, I'm going to read a long passage of Scripture, so get your Bible, and let me just read Genesis chapter 27, beginning with verse 1. Now, it came to pass, when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," and he answered, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now, therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out in the field and hunt game for me. And make me a savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now, Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Isaac and Esau went to the field to hunt game and bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying," verse 7, "bring me game and make savory food for me that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food for them, from them, for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it, that he may bless you before his death." Verse 11, "And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, 'Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing.' But his mother said to him, 'Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go. Get them for me.' And he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, 'My father,' and he said, 'Here I am. Who are you, my son?'" And here's the turning point for Jacob. "And Jacob said to his father, 'I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just what you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me.' But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He said, "I am." He said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed." Verse 28, "Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." Verse 30, "Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, 'Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me.' And his father Isaac said to him, 'Who are you?' So he said, 'I am your son, your firstborn Esau.' Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, 'Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed.'" Verse 34, "When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me also, O my father.' And he said, 'Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing.' And Esau said, 'Is he not rightly named Jacob,'" which means deceiver, "'for he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing.' And he said, 'Have you not reserved a blessing for me?' Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, 'Indeed, I have made him your master and all his brethren. I have given to him as servants with grain and wine. I have sustained him when I shall... what shall I now do for you, my son?'" Verse 38, "And Esau said to his father, 'Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father.' And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, 'Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. It shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck.'" Verse 41, "So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand, and I will kill my brother Jacob.' And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, 'Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?' And Rebekah said to Isaac, 'I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?'" A family in turmoil. Envy and ambition and manipulation all going on. Well, we learn from each person here. We're going to go through it quickly. First of all, Isaac, he was weakened over time. You know, he sought God in prayer in Genesis 24:63 when they brought Rebekah to him. He was out meditating in a field. He was out contemplating blessings. Isaac was the one who said to his father, he says, he's the one who willingly was bound and laid on that altar. Remember when Abraham sacrificed Isaac and the Lord stopped him before he was sacrificed. Isaac was the one who was a fulfillment in some ways of Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you might be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. If there was ever a living sacrifice, it was Isaac. He personified that. He started out strong, but let me tell you, a good beginning doesn't guarantee a good ending. Over time, Isaac evidently was weakened. Now, in verse 3 it says, go hunt game for me. Evidently, he was really proud of his son who was a great hunter. Esau was a great hunter. He says in this passage that he was dying. What was he interested in? He wanted savory food. When Abraham was dying, you know what he pled for? He wanted a wife for Isaac. When David came to the end of his life, he made preparations for the temple to be built. When the Apostle Paul was in a Roman prison approaching death, what did he do? He wrote 2 Timothy to his young man, Timothy, and said to him, preach the word. And yet, when Isaac is towards the end of his life, he says, go hunt for me and bring me something savory to good. Savory to eat. He really was interested in his senses. And in some ways, we learn from Isaac, we learn the lesson when we don't live by the word of God, but we live by our senses, we make a mistake. Now, I want you to go back with me to Genesis chapter 25, because Isaac was doing. Isaac wanted Esau to get the blessing, right? We just read that. Now, go back to Genesis 25 and look at verse 21. In Genesis 25, 21, it says, now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea. Here he was praying, crying out to God, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and here's what the Lord said. The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Now go back to chapter 27. Isaac knew that the younger was going to be the leader. The older shall serve the younger. He knew that. And so did Rebekah. And yet Isaac had a favorite. And Rebekah had a favorite. Now, the other thing, not only did he know what God said it to Rebekah when she asked of the Lord, why are these fighting in my womb? And you remember they came out with Jacob on his heel. They called him supplanter, or one who grabs the heel. It means a deceiver. But not only did they know what God had said back in Genesis 25, but surely Isaac knew that Esau had despised his birthright. Remember, we studied this back in chapter 25, verse 29 through 34. Esau gave up his birthright to Jacob. And he sold it to Jacob for a pot of porridge. And then also Esau had disqualified himself in chapter 26, verse 34, by marrying the heathen women that God did not want him to marry. And so as a result of that, Isaac should have known that Jacob was the one whom God was going to bless and the seed would be blessed in him. And yet, he decided to take things in his own hands. Isaac was weakened. He was old. The Bible says in verse 1, his eyes were old and his eyes were so dim. Dimming eyes and old age sometimes go hand in hand. But spiritually speaking, think about this. When we are spiritually blind, we make bad judgments. Church family, when you and I both need to, we all need to be sensitive and surrender to the Holy Spirit every moment of every day of our life, because we're faced with decisions constantly. Decisions that will make a difference in our own life, the lives of our family members. And if we're only going by our own senses and we're not spiritually sensitive, then we can make wrong decisions. Isaac had a propensity. Look at this in our passage. We're not going to look at every one, but he talks about his senses. He talks about taste in verse 4, 9, and 25. He talks about touch in verse 21, and hearing in verse 22, and smell in verse 27. Dr. Warren Wiersbe says this, he took the scientific approach and it failed him. There are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless the Lord's counsel, that will stand. You say, well, I'm smarter. I know God said this, but I'm smarter. I'll do it my way. I figure that I've got it figured out. If I do it this way, this is the best way to go. Let me tell you something. You better watch out. You better stand on the Word of God, because all of Isaac is a picture of a weakened man. He started out, I mean, he was the sacrifice on the altar, and yet we find him weakened, and he had his priorities on different things, and he wanted savory food is what he wanted. And then he wanted to go against what God said by giving the blessing to Esau when he knew that Esau had been disqualified from getting that. They say that old P.T. Barnum, who had the Ringling Brothers circus and all that, they say that when he was dying, he asked, what were today's receipts? What a thing to ask when you're dying. You know, when you look through a microscope and you turn that little thing and that light just focuses down on what you're looking at. I think sometimes when you get a little age on you, you start really focusing that light. But old P.T. Barnum, even in his death, what were today's receipts? So Isaac was weakened over time. Rebecca, number two, she deceived over time. In verses 5 through 13, she deceived. She knew what God's word was too, and of course, she knew that Jacob was the one that should have gotten the blessing, but she was going to help God get it for him. Rather than letting God do it his way, she was going to help the Lord along. And look at verse 5 in our passage. Verse 5, now Rebecca was listening. Oh man, she was listening. She was an eavesdropper. Dr. Lindsay, my pastor growing up, he used to tell about, he said, this lady was having trouble in her marriage, and she called her neighbor. And she said, I'm having trouble with Johnny, and we're just in a mess over here. And the lady said, honey, come on over here, we'll talk all about it. I've had 5 husbands. Hey, listen, so here was Rebecca, who was eavesdropping. You know, she did that before. She eavesdropped in another passage, and she was like Sarah, who did that in chapter 18, verse 10. Then she develops this scheme. She says, obey my voice. She says, do what I tell you to do. Do what I command you. You shall take it. Take the savory food I'm going to make. She was evidently a great cook. She knew what was going to make Isaac happy. It's amazing she could take that old goat meat and make it taste like good venison. But she could. And so she said, you take it and he's going to bless you. Now, I want you to note in verse 5 it says, Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and bring it. and Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son. Well, they were both their sons. Both of them were both of their sons, and yet they had favorites. And Isaac loved Esau. He was the hunter. He was the burly guy. I heard one commentator say he was the guy, he was so hairy, you know. And sometimes there are guys that just, you know, I've been fair-skinned and red-headed, you know, and I got a little bit of a beard here, but I've never grown it out because I'd be embarrassed. It probably wouldn't grow out good. I didn't have that much. But some guys are so hairy, they got beards growing out of their shirts. You seen those guys? I mean, they're hairy. They're just hair everywhere. Well, evidently Esau was that way, and Isaac loved that, and he was a man. He was an outdoors guy, and Jacob was not that way. Well, they had favorites, okay, but she was listening, and then Jacob says this. Well, hey, my father is probably gonna feel me. It says in verse 12, and I'm gonna seem to be a deceiver. By the way, Leviticus later on tells us that anyone who misleads the blind is in for judgment. Anybody that dishonors their parents. And Jacob knew that this would not be what God would be pleased with. And so he asked his mother, he says, what if he feels me and he says I'm a deceiver? Okay? You know what he is? He's a guy. Jacob, we're going to get to this, but he's a guy that wanted to protect himself, okay? And instead of asking the question, is it right, he was asking, is it safe? The founder of Bob Jones University, a very conservative Baptist university that started in Cleveland, Tennessee, Bob Jones Sr. he had a sermon he preached. He said, do right! If the stars fall, that was the title of his sermon. Do right if the stars fall. Basically, he was telling young people, he was saying to them, you find out what God Almighty says for you to do, and you do right. I don't care if the stars fall, you do right. Man, that's a good way to live, isn't it? But Rebecca was a deceiver. And so anyway, what happened was she said, let your curse be on me. Can you believe that? She said, let your curse be on me. She was willing to take matters into her own hands. Here's what Rebecca can be summed up. The ends justify the means. And if it took deception to get Jacob the blessing, she was willing to do it. This is a sad marriage. Keeping secrets and having agendas against one another. So we see Isaac, he weakened over time. Rebecca, she deceived over time. Here's number three, Jacob, he protected himself over time in verses 14 through 29. First of all, he took the clothes in verse 15. He put the skins on his wrist and on his neck. And then in verse 17, he gave the savory food. That word, the word savory there is a word for delicacies. It's the same word used in Proverbs 23:3 that says, do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. So he had made savory food in verse 17. And then if you notice in verse 18, it says this. So he went to his father and he said, my father, and he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? When he said, my father, in verse 18, it's the same phrase used when Isaac called out to Abraham. Remember when Isaac said to Abraham, my father, we have the sticks and we have the fire, but where is the sacrifice? You remember that story? It's the same phrase, my father. Isaac said that to Abraham, my father. And now Jacob is saying that to Isaac, about to deceive him. Isaac trusted Abraham, but now Jacob is deceiving Isaac. And how did he do it? He did it with lies. In verse 18, who is this? And he says in verse 19, I am Esau, your firstborn. He lies. This was a turning point there's a turning point for every sinner, for every decision we make. I heard somebody say, you can't stop a bird from landing on your head, but you can stop him from building a nest. Sometimes we're tempted, but what are we going to do with that temptation? And so here he was. This was his last chance out. His mom said, make the savory thing. I'll make the savory thing. You can go in, put on these clothes, put on these skins. But the moment of decision was in verse 18 and 19 when his father looked at him, said, who are you? And he said, I am Esau. He lied. He did it with lies. And then, you know what? He actually blasphemed and included God in the whole lie. If you look at verse 19, Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat my game. But Isaac said to him, verse 20, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord, and notice he said, your God. Because the Lord, your God, has brought it to me. Isn't this great how the Lord worked this out? How many times do we blame God for the mess we have put ourselves in, right? And so anyway, he blasphemes against the Lord. And so then Isaac says, come near in verse 21, and he went near. He says in verse 24, one last question, are you really my son? And he says, he gives him one last lie in verse 24. And he said, are you really my son, Esau? And he said, I am. Wow. You think about the deception of Jacob. Really, he was protecting himself. He was selfish. Over time, he did that, and that's the way he lived. Jacob affirms his false identity three times in verses 19, verses 20, and verses 24. So Isaac cautiously proceeds, and Jacob provides both the meat and the drink, and then we read a little farther, and he goes for a kiss. Notice this. In verse 25, he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat my son's game so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Verse 26, then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me. K.A. Matthews in the New American Commentary says this, his betrayal with a kiss for personal gain was superseded in Scripture only by Judas's infamous kiss of Jesus for silver. The betrayal of a kiss. Well, then, Isaac gives Jacob the blessing. Now, according to chapter 25, Jacob would have gotten the blessing, should have gotten the blessing anyway. God was intending for him to get the blessing. The Scripture says that. But here in this betrayal and in this deception and in this protecting himself over time, Jacob gets the blessing. He says, may God give you the dew of heaven. It's a Bible way of talking about the blessings of God, an agricultural blessing. Let the people serve you in verse 29. And then he says, you will be master over your brethren. Mother's sons bow down to you. Verse 31, cursed is everyone who curses you. Blessed are those who bless you. So it appears that Jacob has won, that Rebekah has won. We come to number four, though, and we'll end with this. Esau's bitterness over time. Number one, we had Isaac. He weakened over time. Number two, Rebekah, she deceived over time. Jacob, he protected himself over time. Esau, he became bitter over time. I've learned this as I get older and as I work with people. As you get older, you either get bitter or you get better. There's not a whole lot in between. Church family, let's get better as we age. Kelly, help me be better. I don't want to be bitter. Bitterness is like a cancer. It begins to eat you up. You can't even smile and enjoy life because you're so bitter at maybe the way somebody treated you in your past or a mistake you made or whatever. put it under the blood of Jesus Christ and give it to Jesus. Live life with a spring in your step. Old Charles Spurgeon used to say, surely goodness and mercy, Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're headed for heaven. You're headed for a life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Spurgeon used to say, surely goodness and mercy were like two little lap dogs nipping at your heels all of life. Old Spurgeon's like, all of my life, man, surely goodness and mercy are after me all my life. Man, I want to live that way, don't you? Let's live that way. But Esau is a picture of bitterness over time. He wasn't really sorry about his sin or what he did wrong. He was really sorry for what he lost, not for his disobedience. Isaac trembled exceedingly, in verse 33, violently. Esau cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, it says in verse 34. Jewish scholars have talked about this phrase, about his exceedingly great and bitter cry. They say this, it captures the tumultuous scene by this. He burst into wild and bitter sobbing. Wild and bitter sobbing was what Esau did. And then he cries out to his father, bless me, O my father. Have you not reserved a blessing for me? In verse 36. Now, if you want to turn here, you can, but maybe they'll put it on the screen. But you can write this verse down. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17. We actually have a commentary on this particular passage of Scripture in the New Testament. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17, it says this, and it tells us that Esau was not honorable. He was not an honorable person. Look at this, verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright, for you know that afterward when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. He didn't seek it with repentance. He didn't seek it with seeking God. He sought it because he wanted what he could get. And Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, tells us that Esau was not truly sorry. He wanted, Wiersbe says this, Esau wanted the blessing, but he didn't want to be the kind of man whom God could bless. Man, powerful. He wanted the blessing, but he didn't want to be the man that God would bless. Hey, men out here, let me tell you something. If you are going to have the blessing of God, and I'm saying this because I've made so many mistakes, I'm looking at myself in the mirror, but this has got me challenged to say, if I want the blessing of God, I've got to be the kind of man God blesses. I've got to be a man who has conviction and who will live according to the way. And he goes on to say this, we may forget our decisions, but our decisions don't forget us. And then in verse 41, you really see the bitterness come out. It says in verse 41, so Esau hated Jacob. This is the word where we get our word grudge. Man, so-and-so over there, man, he's just got a grudge. That's a deep-seated hatred. This is the same word that the brothers of Joseph use when they were worried that Joseph was going to hold them accountable for what they did. You know, they sold him into slavery. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in chapter 50. We'll get to that in 2027. I'm just kidding. Y'all pray for me when we get through this, okay? All right. But here's what it says in Genesis 50, the same word. It says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us. That's the word. Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. And that's the same word, a grudge. Hey, listen, one of the greatest truths you can ever live by is the truth that God is the judge. You're free to let God judge people. if you think it's up to you, you're going to go your whole life trying to figure out a way to connive and hold that grudge. And guess what? The problem is you think you're after them, but the hatred is hurting you. The hatred is eating you up. So he says in verse 41, I'm going to kill my brother. He said, I'm mourning for my father in verse 41, but those days are coming to an end. And his mother says, I got to send you away. Once again, she says, obey my voice. Boy, she was really commanding to him. Obey my voice in verse 43. Flee to my brother Laban. And you can only be there a few days in verse 44. Guess what? Rebecca, he was there for 20 years. She says, I don't want to lose both my sons. If you kill Jacob, then something's going to happen to you. I got to send you away. Guess what? She did lose them both, basically. She lost them both. In a sense, she lost both her sons that day anyway. Esau, he became bitter over time. But now here's the thing I want you to see. Turn in your Bibles, and we're going to finish right now. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy in the New Testament. I didn't look this up in advance, so I got to find it too. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And what I want to tell you is this glorious truth that God keeps his word in spite of how we live. Now let me tell you, he keeps his word. Now here's the thing I want you to know. If you're in the family of God and you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God says, I will complete the good work in you. God is going to do, he's determined in God's, God has invincible determination for his will to be done. Because what ended up happening? What ended up happening was Jacob did get the blessing. Jacob became Israel, had the 12 tribes of Israel, and the whole Jewish nation was blessed as a result of all of that happened. And guess what? God did it through flawed people. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, it says this, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we died with him, we'll live with him. If we endure, we shall reign with him. You hang in there in your relationship with Jesus. Now listen, if you deny him, he will deny us. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Give your life to Jesus Christ. And then here's the amazing verse. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And then it goes on to say, if God, well, in the book of Ephesians, it goes on to say this, if God is for us, who can be against us? So the silver lining is this. Now look, if you continually disobey the Lord like these did in this family, you're going to end up in a mess in this world. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Let him follow his design. Find out what God's word says about how to treat one another and how to live in your family and in your relationships, and God will bless you based upon that. But let me tell you something. Even in your disobedience, God's ultimate plan will be accomplished. Amen? His ultimate plan will be accomplished. Now, here's the way I like to think about this. It's one thing to say, well, I can disobey the Lord and he's going to get his plan done. Yeah, but I may come out looking like I've been in a dogfight. You don't want to live that way. Because the Bible says, he loves me like a father. He will discipline me and chastise me. Correct? If I'm in the family, that's the way he's gonna do it. He's going to discipline us. And so the truth of the matter is we must give our lives to Jesus Christ. We must trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But here's the other side that I like to think about. If you get up every day of your life and you say, Jesus, I'm yours, lock, stock, and barrel. That's an old phrase I grew up with. That means all of me. When William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, visited Buckingham Palace, they asked him, Mr. Booth, what's been the secret of the Salvation Army? He said, from the day the Lord put the poor of London on my heart, God has had all of me. Can I say this? I can't really say that all the time. But here's the flip side of that promise. If I get up every day of my life and you get up every day of your life and you say, Jesus Christ, you have me today. Let these hands be your hands. Let these feet be your feet. Let these eyes be your eyes. Let this mouth be your mouth. Use me this day. I'm yours. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong. Y'all correct me if I'm looking at it wrong. You can't lose if you live that way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Hallelujah. How many nights did Kelly and I get on our knees when we had decisions to make about our kids? We didn't make all the right decisions. We made a lot of mistakes. But we said, Jesus, we don't know what to do. And maybe you're in a business situation. You don't know what to do. Maybe you're being pulled to look out for yourself and maybe help God along to provide for your family by doing something you know that He would not be pleased with. Hey, look, don't do it. You put your faith in Jesus and you say, Jesus, you've got me. He makes you a promise. He will make your path straight. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.